Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money. And hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Out.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, no, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Brother Greg Bread with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVDs, CDs, Masterpiece, Charlie's Angels.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. The This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we...
Some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities. And today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVDs, CDs, Masterpiece, Charlie's Angels.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm gonna get my own business. Change the game.
Hi folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm gonna show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre, and that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside, with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
I say people are starting to ask me why. Why I never laugh. I don't laugh no more and I don't smile. At all. At all. At all. What a-
So why the fuck don't you dream more? It happens. I still dream.
The kids, the big kids, smart kids, are taping them, their own voice, and listening to them all night. So they work subliminally. Some of the kids go to Fiverr or Tenor, you know, those things online where you can get somebody with a soothing, sexy voice. Okay. And they listen to them all night. I didn't do that. All I did was read them in the morning and read them at night. The last thing I do every night is I fall asleep saying my prayers. My wife can attest to that. I fall asleep every single night saying my prayers. I have for 68 years.
Prayers or affirmations?
No. Affirmations first, prayers last. Prayers, I fall asleep doing, because I don't want to fall asleep during my affirmations. Affirmations, then prayers.
Because your brain doesn't know you're full of shit, or your subconscious doesn't know you're full of shit. And that's why, I mean, programming yourself and your habits really isn't that difficult. When you understand what makes the synapses fire, it's not that hard.
Athletes have been doing this since the first Olympia 2,000 years ago. Affirmation. John Elway saw himself a goal to win a Super Bowl in overtime since he's 6 years old, but he didn't say the first Super Bowl. It took him the third Super Bowl before he won. The kids, it's phenomenal. It's mostly been used over the last 100 years by athletes and only more recently by business people like yourselves the last 30, 40 years. But it works. Abso-fucking-lutely it works.
We have people, coincidentally, they're the successful ones that do it five times a day. Okay. Athletes, you know, world champions, gold medalists, all do this.
Believe me. And we're going to, you know, I can't wait. I'm waiting with bated breath to hear you say your affirmations. But they do come true. And Andrew Agassi was saying affirmations when he was three or four years old for tennis. And he's the only one I know about, so that I know. But most of the great athletes, Mr. Obama, I don't think much of him as a president, but I mean, I take my hat off to him vis-a-vis goals and affirmations. When he was a 19-year-old pothead in California at a college, he said, "I'm going to be the first black president in the United States," and everything he did was pointed at that, and by God, fuck, it happens. It happened. Notwithstanding, I don't agree with anything he says, but the power for a guy when he was 19 to say there was going to be a black president, he had to be high. There was no question. He had to be high when he said that.
And that's why affirmations work so effectively. Because your subconscious doesn't know you're full of shit. And when you tell, you know, I'm going to be trillionaire, dominate the world, and your subconscious doesn't know it. And when you tell your subconscious a million times, and then every success you have is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Athletes, world-class athletes get this like, they took a poop in the morning. The world-class athletes, you know, 20 years, they see themselves standing on the podium getting a gold medal at the Olympics. And we're going to have four or five stories of guys that I personally trained that were able to do that. But you'll never exceed your most bodacious goal. If you say, I've got mentees, I'm going to go to the Olympics. They went, they didn't get a medal. I've got mentees that I'm going to go to the Olympics and I'm gonna medal. What the fuck that mean? They get a bronze. And I'm only telling you this because the outside environment does affect how you think. And some of the kids do their affirmations, they tape them, and they listen to them all night. All night. The goal for the team was to go to the state finals. They went to the state finals and lost 2-1. The next year, his goal was to win the state finals. They went to the state finals and won 3-4. Is that subtle? It's a big difference between asking Miss Universe out and fucking Miss Universe. Big quantum difference. How many affirmations did you have? I have 22. I told you that. My 22, I told you how they break down. The personal goals, I only have 5 or 6 left. And I have, I think, 6 or 7 affirmations that are associated to those. The rest of mine are related to you, my children, Sally, and a number of the charities that I'm involved in. Begin each affirmation with the words, I am. I am, it means in the present tense. And that means your little pea brain, it'll register in the present tense. Okay. You're going to add an emotion word to each affirmation. I'll give you an example in a minute. You're going to write each affirmation in the present tense using the verb that ends in ing. I'll show you examples in a second. Next, you're going to say each affirmation out loud at least twice a day. You heard Matt say he does his affirmation, I think he said 2 or 3 times, 3 times a day. We have people, not coincidentally, they're the successful ones that do it 5 times a day. 5 times a day. If one of your wants is to increase your net worth by $5 million every month, then you turn it into a goal by writing it down on your goal list as, I want to increase my net worth by $5 million a month or more a month, every month. The affirmation would be, I am happy and easily increasing the amount of my net worth, $5 million or more every month. That's low, a little low, but we'll start for this group, $5 million a month. Okay. The phrase I am sends a command to your subconscious so that it can work on this goal for you even while you're asleep. The term happily and easily tell your subconscious that you will not struggle to accomplish this. This works well for me because it also helps me shorten my workday. You may want to use another term that will help you experience the emotions of increased amounts of savings. I use words, fucking, I'm excited, I have a fucking erection, I'm having multiple orgasms, it's so fucking easy. The present tense word increasing creates a stress between you, what you are saying, and reality so that your subconscious acts with a sense of urgency to make this happen. The or more is important also because when you realize how easy it is to increase your savings amount by $5 million a month, you may want to immediately raise the amount. These two little words will have already sent a message to your subconscious and you will you will reach the monthly amount quicker. The best times to say the affirmations are in the morning when you get up and in the evening just before you go to sleep. By saying them at night, you are commanding your subconscious to work on them while you sleep. By saying them in the morning, you give your subconscious the opportunity to present a report of what it did while you were asleep. The increased focus you experience as a result of this simple activity will produce phenomenal results so that you truly get what you want in life. This is our homework. Any questions about this?
What about short affirmations like I am a genius, I am intelligent, are there those working too? Or
no. Well, you'd be lying to yourself, but that's not the point. Okay, now, I am confident becoming more innately bright through QLA, because it's a process. It's not I am. Just say I am. I am excited about becoming. I am excited about being. Now, there are all kinds of more complicated ways to write affirmations. You can Google fuck this And you could write a PhD white paper, which I hope none of you do. This is the simplest format that I've found that works. The operative word part of that is works. There's all kinds of sophisticated shit done on affirmations. Why you do it in the morning and the night. Your brain's in a theta state and a this state and all kind of shit. But you don't need any of that. All you need to know is this fucker works. It's not important that you know why it works. All you need to know is it fucking works. And don't send me in your weekly report a link about the study done at fucking Stanford, and I'm not interested in that. All I know is this fucking thing works. I don't give a fuck what they did at Stanford, MIT, or wherever the other, there's a bunch of other studies done as well.
You know, like those affirmations we saw that were just tits and ass, but yeah, I'm not telling you to forget the tits and ass, but I mean, money comes to me unexpectedly. I feel overwhelmed but not satiated with money that comes to me unexpectedly. You don't want to be satiated. Satiated means that you get used to it. It becomes your default. I mean, and staying successful, guys, is a hell of a lot fucking harder than getting success. I mean, it's staying because default, I mean, being rich, I haven't had to work in 35 years. You know, some kid at the Jason Capital thing that you were at asked me, how do you get up in the morning? You know, what motivation do you have to get up? That's where the society is now. What do you mean, well, how do I get up in the morning? I mean, I've been, you know, one of the goals you should have, and all of you should have, is that goal is to form new, bodacious, extraordinary habits of the high-performance person, okay? And then your affirmation associated with that is, I'm ecstatic, overwhelmed, how easy I attract good habits, high-performance people, and easily I can lead people, enforce QLA, being all that you can be. I mean, what you need, remember, you're the average of the five people that you hang around with. And right now, for the most part, there's a few exceptions, most of those people are dog shit, okay? And so you want a higher echelon. You want a higher bar. You want higher expectations.
You'll say to your boss one day, you quit. 69% said yes, 31% said no. Do you ever dream that you have a secret power such as the ability to read minds, become invisible, or control other people's actions? 62% said yes, 38% said no. Are you ever shot out of a daydream and unable to answer the question someone has asked you? 45% said yes, 55% said no. And have you had at least one fucking daydream in the last year that you turned into reality? 71% said yes, and 29% said no. So why in the fuck don't you dream more? It happens. I still dream. Seventy-1% had their dreams come to fruition. So it seems like a fucking no-brainer to me. But I got a brain. And apparently most don't. It's so fucking simplistic. Maybe my mom was right letting me believe in Santa Claus till I was 11 fucking years old. My cousins say I was 13. I think that's a stretch, but my older cousins tease me, you know. They also say that I breastfed till I was 11, which is also, I believe, a bit of a stretch, Mom. But, you know. But so why don't we? Because it's not conventional wisdom. It's all right for our kids to do that shit. But not us. Because we're all grown up now. We're adults. And that's so fucking horseshit. Guys, this isn't new shit. You know, when I tell you dream in my closing remarks in a few days, dream, get outside the box, be passionate, get selfish, love yourself, You can't love somebody else and love you, unless you love yourself. I mean, it works. And it's not new stuff. People have been saying this for not just decades, but thousands and thousands of years. We've shown you enough slides from Plato and all these people from the years, you know, a long time ago. It is. It's not new stuff. But the difference between me and the rest of the industry, if you can call it that, is I'm telling you it's a motherfucker because it's hard. I'm not telling you it's easy. Because if it was easy, you would have already done it. With all the fucking shit you read, you fucking idiot, and all the pod fucks you've listened to, and all, if it was so bloody fucking easy, you'd already be there.
Okay, what's the affirmation associated with that goal? Now, that could easily be broken down to 4 or 5 goals, okay? 4 or 5 goals, excuse me, 4 or 5 goals do not have to have 4 or 5 affirmations. One affirmation can be all-inclusive for the 4 or 5 goals. Now, go,
Leonard.
Now, just to give you an aside, when I came up with this, I wanted to be with a castle on an island with a moat, da-da-da-da, and I see my children playing tennis, playing golf on our own golf course. I see the our governesses and nannies that once worked in the Buckingham Palace. I saw that, okay. I see myself strutting around the property, and I visualize this with my boots and my riding crop, being the most influential gentleman farmer in Scotland. No, that's what I saw, okay. It's before I had that fucking painting, before I had any of this. And so that's what I would say twice a day. Okay. Go ahead.
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to. Okay.
Got only a goal?
One goal and an affirmation.
Okay. Well, help kids to go private school and start their business. Well, my kids are start driving their businesses and being more successful in their areas.
Okay, you got to add more adjectives. You got to make it more colorful. So words, that, remember, can't be too bodacious, can't be too overwhelming. You know, for example, if you wanted your kids to, you know, go into space, I see them walking on the moon. I see them easily going to flight school. I see them easily taking off the first time with the jet thrust. I feel the G's of the jet thrust. I mean, you got to really elaborate. Again, because your subconscious doesn't know that it, you know, it's just bullshit. And the more you say it, I mean, the athletes understand this when, you know, when they're talking about they're in the third or fourth year of skiing. I see myself, you know, winning the downhill by a full 2 seconds, which is virtually impossible, by the way. You don't win downhill by you win it by 0.02 seconds. I see myself in the cold wind on my face accepting the gold medal. I accept the accolades and the applause of the Austrian people, if you're Austrian, or the Russian people, if you're Russian, or the American people, if you're American. I see, I mean, you've got to really throw yourself into it. You really have to go over the top. Okay.
Mine's not that specific.
Okay, well, tell me, and then I'll make it specific when I tart it up.
I am passionately adding more and more money and happiness.
Okay, what's the goal, though? The goal?
And $30,000 is buying whatever I want.
30,000. Well, you know, I would have made the goal. I feel it's well within my comfort zone having unlimited expenses daily. Then the affirmation, I am wildly overwhelmed with joy knowing that no matter how much money I spend, it's not a dent, it's not a fraction, it's not chump change. I mean, and there are people in the world that have no, you know, Sally sometimes thinks she's one, but she has no limits to not her abilities, her ability to spend money. You want this, and when you talk to your kids about affirmations, and you can start affirmations at 3, 4, 5 years old, you start with goals. With kids, you start goals first, then affirmations. So when they get used to the goals, and they understand the goals, then you add the affirmations. If you add the affirmations with kids too early, with the goals, they get confused.
Okay, now I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 years old. If your kid's 18 years old, he's not going to get confused, okay? Almost everybody understands goals. Very few people understand the affirmations that are associated with goals. You've tried everything known to man, and it didn't work. Nobody tells you you're 2,000 cold calls away from being rich. If you make 2,000 cold calls, you'll be worth $10 million in 6 months. A cold call meaning you talk to a decision maker, an owner, not a fucking flabby-chitted secretary, not a receptionist. You don't leave a fucking message. You talk to a decision maker, 2,000 cold calls, and you'll be rich. Guaranteed. But you won't make 20 calls. Josh Kim made 300 calls a fucking day. It's not by accident the little skinny shit teenager in this fucking jet plane. But you're slow. I'm asked if you started on the 1st of September or whatever month you want to, how long would it take me to do all the things that I tell you that takes 3 to 7 years? 30 to 45 days. 45 days if I fucked everything up. We have guys doing it now in 45, 60, 75 days, and they can't find their ass with both hands tied behind them. But they're making the calls, and they're, you know, all the stuff's on the website. And the webinars are, the YouTube, I call them webinars, the YouTube stuff is golden. 250,000 kids start businesses every year in America. One makes it to the big time, meaning billions, like a Zuckerberg. Maybe 9 make it to what I would call the second league. You'd call it the first league, but I'd call it the second league. Because they're trying to do deals that aren't real deals. The beauty of the QLA model, notwithstanding the simplicity, is that you don't need anything other than somebody that wants to sell as much as you want to buy. The ideal customer, ideal person, they tease me in the industry. A motivated seller to Pena is the wife just had a stroke and is in a wheelchair, and the husband is spitting up blood from an emphysema. Now, that's a goddamn motivated seller. Now, see, you don't know that there are millions of motivated sellers like that because you've never looked. When you go and offer your board free founder's equity, that's free equity in the founding NewCo company, they will be all over you like a cheap suit. Because they've worked for all these big companies. LinkedIn is the best sales tool that was ever invented for this program. LinkedIn. Because all the 2 or 5 or 7 million people on LinkedIn have one thing in common. They want to make money. And they work for, and you want people that are about to retire or already recently retired, and they can't make ends meet. Very few people can make ends meet, meaning they live paycheck to paycheck. Is that still a term you use? They live paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth. They live hand to mouth. And you wouldn't be surprised. How, and I wasn't Josh Kim's chairman, although he did ask me, but I wanted him to do it because I could see talent. But when a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid asked a 65-year-old former managing partner for the Southwestern United States for the healthcare for PwC to be the chairman, why would that 64-year-old guy even listen to him? Because he's got no fucking money. Because he's one step above broke more than you. And that's a tragedy. Because the system doesn't work anymore. It just bloody doesn't work. If it worked, all you kids wouldn't be here.
Now, when people come to me, I'm the last saloon in the last town on the edge of the earth, and the earth is flat. You've tried everything known to man, and it didn't work. Nobody tells you you're 2,000 cold calls away from being rich, because all the guys that you know their names don't want to tell you that. But we got this $69 a quarter program, and we got this and that. My sales training was calling everybody in the white pages in Manhattan. Everybody. A lot of people in Manhattan. In those days, about 9 million. And by the time I went to the white pages, I was making 50, 60 grand. Now, this is in the early 70s. 50, 60, 70 grand a month. Not a lot of money, but my 70 did all right. And then my sales manager, Bob, oh, you went through that, kid. Here's the yellow pages. Call every cocksucker in the yellow pages. By the time I was through that, I was making 100, 150, 200 grand a month. 1974, 75, 76. Not a lot of money. I know chump change you guys. I had two drivers, two rolls, extended, well, I'm 27 years old. But it's all, when we reverse engineered how I made all my money and we put it in a seminar and now online, it's all there. It's all there. And it's free. And as some of the guys used to say, if it's free, it's for me.
Varbal, welcome back to Undisputed.
Hey,
welcome.
Good morning.
Back.
Good morning.
Look at
this man.
That's the CEO stuff.
That's right. He is the CEO.
I mean, he normally come out here, big T-shirts and sweatpants and sneakers. Now look at it.
Time for business, baby. Time for business.
Well, Levar, have you been surprised by all the reactions to your shoes?
Oh, not really. I expect this reaction on the fact that people are losing sight. They're looking at the price tag and not understanding that Lonzo's shoe is symbolic. That comes with a price tag.
Mm. Symbolic of?
Symbolic as he's the first one ever to come in here without even playing a game and have his own brand. Mm. That's it's not just a shoe. You just go in a store or something like that, and you say, you know what? Let me get the Kyrie, the LeBrons. And by the way, throw in the ZO2s. ZO2s mean something.
Mm.
That's why the price tag is like that. That's what the shoes worth. I bet you not one of those guys that I named sat in the room for the price of the shoe. They just give you the shoe, and here you go.
Did you seek advice to come up with $495, or was that your...
No, I didn't have to seek no advice because it's mine.
And how did you arrive at $495?
I think that's what the shoe is worth. That's what the shoe is worth.
You know what, Levar? I know you. I watch you. I watch your mannerism. Skip Bailey, let me tell you something about this man. The reason why he came up with $495, he's like, if I come up with a shoe for $100 or $125, ain't nobody going to be talking about it. See, they're talking about the price, not the shoe.
Right.
But you got people. But see, what you got people's attention. Now that you got their attention, how do you keep it with this shoe? Because like you said, Lonzo hadn't played a game.
He don't have to play a game. He did more than enough. Look what he did for UCLA. He sold that place out. It ain't been sold out in 10 years. What you mean he ain't did enough? They got Gucci and Prada. What have they done?
But here's
at least my son can play.
But here's the thing. Michael Jordan could not command $100 for a pair of sneakers.
Because he ain't Lonzo Ball, that's why.
Lavar, you better stop playing with me.
I'm going to tell you again. Did he have his own brand when he came in?
No.
It's a new era called the Ball Era.
But here's the thing, though. What is he going to do to make that shoe symbolic? Because you had
that
Air
shoe
Jordan.
That shoe is symbolic already on the fact that he's coming in with his own brand. Nobody's ever done that. So if I sell 50 shoes, who cares? It's a family thing. That's for the family. I'll make them all for Lonzo. Lonzo has his own shoe. Just like Shaq was saying, oh, Levar, you need to make it for the kids. No, that's your lane. You make it for them. They got two lanes that can come in. He makes his shoe, his Shaq Attack.
Yeah.
How come his son don't wear it? It's a family thing. See, my son will wear my shoe. It's a family thing.
Oh, you give him a choice?
I'm giving him a choice. He can wear any shoe he wants, but why wouldn't you want to wear something that's your own? That's what I'm saying.
You make a valid point.
So we know Chad Johnson bought or at least ordered a pair.
Right.
And we know Michael Bennett said he ordered a couple pair, I believe.
Yes.
Are you aware of those?
Yes, they've told me. Yes.
So can you give us some idea of how many have been ordered?
Ch- Just look at me and you tell me.
This is proof positive?
Yes, this is proof positive right here.
That was quick. The shoes
very
just,
quick. Very quick.
Hold on. The shoes, what the shoes drop on Thursday and you got a tux on Monday?
That's how it's rolling. You see it.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Hey, I didn't say that.
So,
Skip, before you go.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I got no problem. You're an entrepreneur. You want your son to say, okay, you have your own brand. It's not going to be, and people are not going to profit off of you.
Right.
But the comment, if you can't afford $4.95, you're not a baller.
I didn't say if you can't afford $4.95.
Right.
See, if you don't cop the ZO2s, you're not a baller. As I said before, this big baller brand is not just about having a lot of money and paying. Big baller brand, you could be a big baller at whatever you do.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Work hard and get it. That's what I mean by that.
Okay.
Some of these folks think big baller is just sitting there crying.
So, Shannon, what did I tell you on Friday? That this man has pulled off something that Nike and Under Armour and Reebok would envy, which is over 72 hours, you have generated more publicity with $4.95 than they could ever have hoped for any launch of their shoes.
Right.
So was that part of the thinking? Was that
part of the thinking, like you said, on the fact that it's my own thinking. I don't have to go to a boardroom and say, you know what? What do you think the price should be on this? My boardroom consists of me and my son. Son, if you think your value of your shoe is that, what you think? This ain't the normal shoe. You put a lot into this. But nobody's going to give the creativity to a 19-year-old kid. He's wearing the shoe. Everything on that shoe he designed.
So has anyone ordered the $9.95? Is that what it is?
Here's the $9.95.
With the autograph, right?
Oh, yes. Because here's what this is. That shoe right there is memorabilia. See, that's what they don't get. People can't sign those shoes at the end of their career because they already sold to the licensing, to the right to sign their own shoe. They gave that to the memorabilia early. That's why you don't have nobody. You got to stamp them other signs on there, them Kobe signs and LeBron signs.
So give us some idea how it's selling, just some idea.
Well, it's selling on the fact that it's a good shoe. It looks good. It's a family thing as far as.
But like how many orders? Can you give us some vague ballpark? Just.
I'll give you a vague ballpark. Give me a number. How about $4.95?
You've had 495 orders?
At least.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Were we right? We were just speculating on Friday. We're doing 1,000.
See, that's where everybody wants to see and where about what's going on with the prices and all that and how many shoes we sell.
Well, I'm a designer.
Here's the thing. Yeah, see, now everybody want to design a shoe.
But just like dress I was like telling that. You,
just like the memorabilia thing.
Yeah.
You buy this shoe for $1,000. Whatever Lonzo does, he goes to the playoffs, wins some championships. Imagine how much it's worth then. See, that's where they're getting stuck on the numbers. Forget about the pricing.
Right.
Just understand what we're doing with this. I never heard of memorabilia going down.
So that's
a great investment.
If you put his logo or you put his stamp, what's it going to be his signature? What's it going to be? You know, you got the jump man or you got LeBron, whatever, you know, dunking the basketball. You got Kobe with the.
Zoe's signature on the back of the shoe. It's a ZO2. That's what it is. If you look at it, it's a Z, a zero, and it's number two in the middle.
What about
that's the brand?
Now, there's a coach at Ohio State said you stole this
logo.
Of course. He'd been watching TV for a long time. How's that his logo? This is ours created by Zoe, ZO2. What does his logo mean? I don't know. I don't even know the guy. And ain't Ohio State, if we're talking about Ohio State, ain't they the Buckeyes? He's talking about stealing logo, but he got to say that to get some relevance because nobody even know who he is. Unless he say, oh, man, he stole my logo.
His name is Zach Smith.
What is his name? Zach Smith?
Mm-hmm.
He should have had a Z in the ass then. Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out.
So
go ahead.
So I want to talk for a second about LeVar Ball because this is an amazing phenomenon that a couple of months ago I did not know who you were because I think a lot of people didn't know who you were. And all of a sudden you are a household name. you are actually dominating the sports headlines over the last month or so until it hit a crescendo with 495. So how has it changed your life? Like, you go to the grocery store and you're going to get recognized. Maybe that's in Chino Hills, you would have been recognized anyway. But if you're out in a restaurant in L.A., are you now a big celebrity? Is it, do you have to?
It's not going to change. It's been the same thing. It's a lot more people. Like when I walk by, they say, hey, Big Baller Brand or something like that, LeVar. But I'm the same guy. Because, like I said, I'm not going to change. I'm still loud and still talk to them and everybody.
But does this amaze you, the phenomenon?
It doesn't amaze me at all. I'm supposed to be like this.
Like it was meant to be.
It's meant to be.
Well, let me ask you something about this old Chino Hills coach. What role did you play in that? You come out here talking and telling everything. Tell the whole truth.
What role did I play? I didn't play a role at all. I'm concentrating on Big Baller Brand. I'm not on staff. That's protocol what they did. Everybody keep asking.
Hold on.
LeVar, you did that. No, I didn't.
LeVar, you.
I'm not on staff.
Okay, how about this? You,
the guy is a great guy.
You said.
Just can't coach.
You said Melo was not going to that school if he was.
I didn't say Melo was not going to that school.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Find it. But I guarantee
LeVar,
you.
LeVar, I think you said it the last
time. No. Listen, I never said Melo was not going to that school. Listen to this.
You said he wasn't playing for that basketball.
For that coach.
Okay, that's what
we built the school. Why would we leave?
I mean, hold on.
We built the school. Why would we leave? You won't even talk about Chino Hills if the Ball Brothers ain't there. That's all I'm saying. We ain't going nowhere.
You pull the funding. How could I? Melo is the funding.
Hey, you tell them that. I ain't said nothing.
So if they had come to you and said, sorry, we're going to hang with this coach for another year, you would have done what?
I'd have said, go right ahead. I'd like to see this.
And? Would you have pulled your kid out?
I'm not pulling my kid from nowhere.
You're just not going
to
let him play.
Listen. He wouldn't even have to play high school ball. Mel's already going to do what he's going to do.
How you going to – hold on. Lever, stop that. Man. How you going to do that?
Much control like I'm doing right
I
now.
I know it.
Yes.
You holding that man's livelihood and his future in the balance.
How?
Because you pull your –
become a big baller and do your own thing.
Well, so can he come work with Big Baller?
Stop it. You know you can't come from Big Baller after you do that. Once you go the wrong way one time, that's it. That's it.
At least you are honest.
Yes. Think about what you're doing before you do it.
So is it fair to say that now Lonzo Ball will come into the NBA with as much or more pressure than anyone since LeBron James?
Excuse me.
Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say that. It's fair to say that on the outside for people. But like I said before, my son doesn't see this as pressure. It's just entertainment. And it's been embedded in his head for so long. It's pressure for you guys looking at him.
Right.
Like I tell everybody, man, everybody want to look out the window, but don't nobody want to look in the mirror.
That reflection.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody like thinking – this is going to be so hard for Zoe. Zoe's going to do whatever he's going to do. He's been successful playing basketball, something he's loved to do all his life.
Right.
So it's not like he's going to get to this stage and just be like, you know what, these guys are coming at me and I don't want to do this no more.
So make a case for Lonzo over Markelle Fultz to be the first player picked.
Well, the first player picked is Zoe does something that nobody else does in the draft, which is make everybody around him better. He will make them sacrifices to make that team better. And every team he's gone on, he's uplifted them. And that's something that Markelle's going to have to do that, and I don't know if he can, on the fact that you only won 9 games. You got to go 500 on your own. Something you got to do to trigger. You just can't be out there scoring and doing your thing. I'm working with my youngest son right now. And we did 3 tournaments, and 1 tournament he went 1-3. The second one he went 2-2. But I'm saying, you have to make everybody better. You can't score these 50 points and lose. Mm. And then you have to learn to trust your teammates.
Right.
That's what Westbrook is having a problem with that. He's a heck of a player, a heck of a game, but you're going to get tired. Mm. And that's what's happening. You've got to be able to defer. And what Lonzo is good at is knowing when to strike. He's going to make everybody – he has a game plan going in before they even play. Most people just go out there and play. It's always like, oh, I'm going to be real aggressive now and make them think about me, then I start passing. Or I'm going to pass a lot so they forget about me. But you got to see what team you're playing and come in on a game plan that you're going to have. You just can't come say, okay, it's next game, let's go. So it's beautiful. In the last tournament we just did, my son Melo went 4-0, learning from Lonzo. Like, hey, make everybody better around you. It's about winning. It ain't about you scoring 50 and 60 points and being the man. So it's beautiful to watch him learn what his brother's done.
Do you care where Lonzo winds up? Would you prefer Lakers?
I prefer the Lakers for anything. We West Coast people.
I know.
Yeah, I already know.
This West Coast, man, we good.
Remember that, how that ping pong in 85 skip? Remember how that ping pong ball bounced?
Yep.
I ain't saying nothing, Lonzo. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That ping pong, hey, like I told him before, the Lakers going to get that ball, then they're going to get that ball.